Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Chaf Aleph. We're in Chaf Amud Aleph. We are in towards the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. That means we're a little bit behind. Today we'll make a little bit. We'll make up some ground. But meanwhile, let's record. Review what we did yesterday. Yesterday we learned the Mishnah. We're in the second parak of Yevamos, and the first two Mishnayos in Yevamos were challenging. The Mishnayos themselves weren't that hard, but the ensuing discussion of the Gemara was impressively challenging. And so the last number of days have been really challenging dapim here in the Masechta as we try to wrap our heads around Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo. What exactly is the case of Eishes Achiv Shelo Yabo Lamo? We know there's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. What exactly are the parameters of that machlokas? Okay, that was a difficult topic, and that started off our second parak. This new Mishnah that we started with yesterday is less challenging as it's more general in nature. And that is that in the Mishnah we're talking about now what happens when the mitzvah of Yibum is going to be confronted by an Isser. Now we basically are talking about two different types of Isserim. Now, as we already pointed out since the beginning of the Masechta, every single time there's a mitzvah of Yibum, there's obviously going to be an Isser, but the Isser is a Shesach. And as we already established at the beginning of the Masechta, okay, the Torah is Matir, the Isser of a Shesach. It's mitzvaso bekach. That was the language of Tosfos that we saw all the way back on Daf Dalet. So that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, by definition, to violate the Isser of Eishes Ach. So when we're talking about the Isser of Eishes Ach, there's literally nothing to talk about. Meaning the mitzvah of Yibam is going to be overriding the Isser of Eishes Ach. That's clear. That's unequivocal. Although what we learned in yesterday's Mishnah is that if in fact there's a confrontation between the mitzvah of Yibam and, let's say, a lav in the Torah, or the mitzvah of Yibam and an Isser de Rabbanan under those circumstances, so now we have what to talk about. Now there's a real confrontation. So what did we learn in the Mishnah yesterday? That as a general rule, so if there is an Isser Erva, so there's no Chalitza, no Yibam. That's the first rule of the Mishnah, but that's just a review of what we've been learning now for the last 3 weeks since the beginning of the Masechta, that we knew. Meaning once there's a Rayas, once another Erva comes into play, so at that point in time, there's no longer going to be a mitzvah at all. And the Erva is going to be putter from the mitzvah, and the Tsaros Erva is going to be putter from the mitzvah. And good, and that's what we've been discussing now for the last 3 weeks. However, if we're going to introduce, let's say, for example, Nisra Mitzvah or Nisra Kedusha, so under those circumstances, so now we have confrontation. What do we do? So we don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. What rather do we do? We do Chalitza. Choletzes v'lo misyabemes. Under those circumstances, you do Chalitza and not Yibum. And then the Mishnah points out, Achosei she Yivimta, if the sister is also Yivama, so then Choletzes v'lo misyabemes, so then you do Chalitza or Yibum. As we pointed out yesterday, that means there were two brothers marrying two sisters, and under those circumstances, now that the Yivama is also sister-in-law as well, so then she is she obviously is going to be in an erva and an ineligible for the mitzvah of Yibam. Her sister, on the other hand, would in fact be eligible because for her there was mamish no mitzvah, there was no zika. Okay, and then the Mishnah went on to describe when we say the words itzer mitzvah, what is that a reference to? Shnios, that's a secondary arayos. If you're a little bit confused, what does that mean, secondary arayos? Stay tuned. Meaning in today's daf, that's what we're going to try to wrap our heads around, what exactly are cases of secondary arayos. And then when it says Isser Kedusha, that's talking about the lavim in the Torah. For example, an almana to a Kohen Gadol, grusha in the chalutza to a Kohen Hedjot, a mamzeres in a sina. So these are lavim in the Torah. So therefore, when the mitzvah of Yibam is going to be confronting a lav in the Torah, so on one hand, it's only a lav, which means that it doesn't uproot the mitzvah's Yibam. On the other hand, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam because of the lav. And so consequently, as a result of that, what's the halacha? Chalitza. You do chalitza, you don't do yibum. Okay. That is the Mishnah that we saw yesterday, the third Mishnah here in the second parak of Yevamos. What is going to be our topic of discussion for a good part of today? This really is all yesterday's daf, but this is a really now fundamental discussion, and that is, wait 1 second. I have a mitzvah yibum. Confronting it is a lav in the Torah. So what do we normally say? We say that when you have an essay, and you have a lo sasei, so the essay should go ahead and override the lo sasei of the Torah. Essay docha lo sasei. So why don't we say that over here? Now, when it comes to arayos, so already this takes us back to the beginning of the Masechta, right? Starting on Daf Gimel Amud Beis and going on from there. So when you're talking about an erva, so by an erva, so it's not just a lav, it's a lav sheish bo kares. So that's a super lav, if you will. And for that, so the essay is not going to be overriding the lo sasei. Now, it's funny, the Gemara spent about five blot of Gemara discussing that very point. But anyway, but we know the conclusion. Meaning, if we're talking about the confrontation between the mitzvah and any of the other arayos outside of Eishasach, so then the Isser is going to dominate. And there's not going to be a mitzvah under those circumstances. But that's not our discussion over here. Our discussion over here is going to be where you have Esse versus a los Esse. So under those circumstances, what do we learn? We learn that you will do the chalitza, but you won't do yibum. And the Esse is not going to override the los Esse. So we're going to ask a simple question in the first part of today's daf, and that is, why not? Why don't we say the Esse is doch los Esse? That's going to be our first topic of discussion over the course of today. And then from there, we'll take it from there. And then that'll basically take us to Chaf Aleph. So we begin with the Gemara. We are now, there we are. We are now in Chaf Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're starting with the words, Amana LaKohen Gadol. It's about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Gemara starts off, Kapasik V'tan Loshnam in Asun, Loshnam in Erusin. Now, we said that when it comes to an Amana to Kohen Gadol. Now, mind you, by the way, let's animate this. What exactly is happening over here? So we're talking now about the Kohen Gadol's brother who died, leaving a widow by definition, meaning obviously. In other words, every case of Yibam by definition is going to be having a widow. So leaving over a widow, and now the widow is subject to the mitzvah of Yibam with her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law happens to be the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is prohibited to marry an almana. Min ha-Torah. It's an Isser Lav in the Torah. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that he can't do Yibum. Oh, okay. So to which the Gemara says, Bishlam, I'm in an Isser and Ase v'los Ase v'nese docha los Ase v'ase. So the Gemara says, look, if we're talking about an almana who was widowed after being fully married with her previous husband, with her first husband, so then you understand. So there are now going to be two prohibitions prohibiting her to her brother-in-law. One is that a Kohen Gadol is required to marry a Besula, right? Bivsula HaYikach. And two is that on top of that, there's a law in the Torah that he may not marry an Almana. Okay, so it's an Esse and a Los Esse. And the Gemara says, so I totally understand now that if she is widowed after being fully married to her former husband, so then by her, she's not a Besula and she's an Almana, that's an Esse and a Los Esse. So I can now understand and wrap my head around the idea that the mitzvah yibum, which is an essay, is not going to be overriding an essay and a los essay. That part I understand really clearly. Ela min ha'irusin los essay greidehu. So, however, let's say she's a widow, and she's a widow. She's a widow, but only from Erison. So that means to say that she was previously married to the Kohen Gadol's brother, but only for the first stage of marriage, not the second stage of marriage. That means that she is a... she's a besula, but she's also an almana. Now, for her vis-a-vis her brother-in-law, the Kohen Gadol. So, what are the isurim? She is on one hand, she is a besula. So, from that standpoint, she would be permitted to her brother-in-law. On the other hand, she's also an almana. Okay, so we have now a problem. The problem is that we are looking now at somebody who is only a lav to her brother-in-law. This almana is only a lav to her brother-in-law. So yavo esav yitche lo sase. So here the Gemara sets up the question of today's daf, and that is under these circumstances where we're now, we distilled her to only being a lav, so now we have a simple confrontation over here between an esse and a lo sase. He has a mitzvah esse to do the mitzvah of yibum. He is prohibited to her, but only through a lav. In other words, she's still a basula. So only through a lav she's prohibited to her because she's an almana. So why not the Kohen Gadol allow him to do the mitzvah of Yibum and override the los Esse in the Torah? Good. That's the question. Okay, this is not going to be an easy question to answer. In fact, it will take the entirety of the Amud Beis and a little bit of today's daf, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, in order to answer this question. So this is not an easy question to answer. And let's go. We're going to go 3 rounds in terms of trying to answer this question. So, as you know, if we're talking about real estate over here in the Gemara, precious real estate of the Gemara, where the Gemara is spending over an Amud answering this question, it clearly is not an easy question to answer. Amar Rav Gidol Amarav Amakra. Ve'alta Yivamtu HaShaara. So what's going to happen is that he's going to take his sister-in-law to the Sha'ara, to the gate. Gate, by the way, usually in the Torah is a reference to Beis Din. So So the fact that it says Yevimto, and this is already repeated in the Torah, where the Torah previously already described her as being the Yevama, so this is what's called an extra pasuk. So the Gemara now is going to darshan the extra pasuk. What are we describing over here? So it is a Yevama, meaning it's an extra Yevama. And with this extra Yevama, the Eza Zuzu Chayve Lavin, this is a reference to Chayve Lavin, and that means to say, that we are now going to be describing a Chayve Lavin where there's going to be Chalitza, but there's not going to be Yibum. Meaning, we're darshaning it out from the Torah. So, okay, fine. Ve'eim a Chayve Krisus. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Why don't we suggest that we're talking over here about Chayve Krisus? So the Gemara says, no, I'm a Krayim lo yech, but ta'ish la kachas. Ha'chafetz miyabim. Kola ola Yibum ola lechalitza, v'choshein ola Yibum in ola lechalitza. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be an Issacharis. That's crazy. Because we know that in order for there to be a chalitza eligibility, there also has to be a yibum eligibility. So it can't be Issacharis. So the Gemara says, well, that's funny. Well, if it can't be an Issacharis, so you know what it also can be? So it can't be chayve lavin, ihachi, chayve lavin nami. So the Gemara says, so you're telling me that in order for there to be chalitza, there must be yibum, and by Araya, since there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. So hey, newsflash. Why don't we say the same thing by chayve lavin? Well, you know, I can't do yibum with her. Why? Because chayve lavin. Well, if you can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza as well. So the Gemara says, Harabi Rachman Yivimto. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? We have the ribui, meaning we have the extra pasuk in the Torah, and that extra pasuk in the Torah is there to teach us that that there is a scenario where there's a woman who can do chalitza, you can't do yibum. Okay, so what do we have right now? So we have now a general rule of if you can't do yibum, you can't do chalitza. That's by Yisar Rayas. And we have now also an additional drasha that, you know, when if it's chayve lavin, like an amanato kohen gadol, and by the way, again, the amanato of the kohen gadol only in the case of erusin, meaning in the case of nisuin, she's not just a lav, she's a lav plus an asay. But in the case of Amanato Kohen Gadol, where it's only a lav, so under those circumstances, now we have another drasha that tells us that you could do chalitza. Not only can you do chalitza, it's more than that. You must do chalitza to her, even though you can't do yibum. Umara Isa. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. So I know that I have an assortment of drashas. One drasha that tells me that if there's yibum, there's chalitza. And if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. I have an additional drasha that tells me that if there's yibum, then there can be chalitza even though there's no yibum. And what do we do with this assortment of drasha? So we applied it. The first drasha goes to Arayas. The second drasha goes to Lavin. Uma Reisa, so the Gemara wants to know, well, how did you get there? As we're now on the very top of Chaf Amid Beis. Mistaber Chayve Lavin Tafsebu Kedushin. Chayve Krisus Lo Tafsebu Kedushin. So the Gemara says, look, it's Mistaber. It just simply is logical. And what is the basis of the logic? The basis of the logic is going to be predicated on the fact that, look, when it comes to Chayve Lavin, at least there's the Tfisus Kedushin. In other words, the Kedushin is going to take effect, as we've discussed time and again. But when it comes to Chayve Krisus, so there's no Tfisus Kedushin. So if I'm now going to elect and position which drasha should go to what, it makes more sense to take the drasha of no yibum, no chalitza to the Isuri Kares, where there's no Tfisus Kedushin. Mashain came by Chayve Lavin, since there is a Tfisus Kedushin, so therefore the marriage could, in theory, take place. So therefore, under those circumstances, do chalitza even though you can't do yibum. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to at least we're almost at the end of round number one. We're asking you a really simple question, but it's not a simple question. It's a difficult question, but it's very basic in that when I have a confrontation between the mitzvah of yibum and a lav in the Torah, so we should say ese docha lo sase. We don't say that. The Mishnah says that we don't say that. Why don't we say that? So right now, our first attempted answer is, it's a drasha. So the Gemara says, really, Mesiv Rava. So Rava says, well, let me ask you the following question. Let's take a look. It's a mitzvah, Vista Kedusha, Ba'alau, Choleif, Lo Nifter, Atzarasa. So if I have an Isser Mitzvah or Isser Kedusha, again, those are the terms that we used in the Mishnah in yesterday's daf. Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha is a reference to those who are either Lav or an Isser de Rabbanan. So if the Yavam has relations with her or does chalitza with her, so the co-wife is not going to be exempted. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, let's say you're right. And what again? What's your proposal? That by a lav, We're talking now where there's an is, where there's no opportunity for yibum, but there is a mitzvah chalitza on a da'oraisa level. So if chalitza is required min ha-Torah, so then he do chalitza, and then what? And then you have now got a check in the box for chalitza, which means that she should be free to go, and her co-wife, of course, should be free to go. And meanwhile, in the braisa, we said that if you do chalitza, lo niftarat sarasa, the co-wife doesn't get released. If chalitza is mandated by the Torah, which is what you're arguing, so then the co-wife should be released. So humosif love humefarik la livstadim ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you. Meaning that is a strong question, but let me show you how I can read the braisa. We'll take the braisa and we'll cut it in half. And ba'alaha iser mitzvah chalasla iser kedusha. So when we're talking about bia, that's talking about the iser mitzvah, and when you're talking about chalisa, that's talking about the iser kedusha. And that means to say that when it comes to the lavin, where there is an eligibility of chalitza, that's when chalitza is going to be effective. Mashainke, when we're talking about an iser derabanan, where there chalitza is not even on the table, meaning chalitza is not even an option. So that's when the braisa says lo patar sarasa, that it's not going to release the kawaith. Okay, so we are right now trying to defend this position that if we're talking about a lav, which is now confronting the mitzvah of yibum. So what we're suggesting is that despite the fact that there's no mitzvah of yibum, there is a, not just a possibility, a requirement to do chalitza, and it's based on a drasha in the Torah. Okay, so the Gemara says Meitzav Rava. So here we are now, still in our first round of trying to answer the question, and the Gemara now is going to be asking an extraordinarily strong question. The Gemara goes, Meitzav Rava. So you have all these people who are incapable of having children. Okay, without going through the details of what each one of them are, but anyway, they're all impotent. So you do chalitza or you do yibum. Ketzad. So let's say, for example, mesu. So let's say any one of these people died, meaning they were married to a woman and they died. Now, should they have married a woman? So for some of them, the answer is yes. Some of them, the answer is no. Meaning for the Zakin, yeah, Zakin could be married to a woman. Okay, why did he marry her? Why did she marry him? So the answer, of course, is for the money. So but in some of them, though, you're not allowed to marry. Meaning a Psua Daka and a Krus Shavcha, lo yavo bekal Hashem. That's an Isser. But still, okay, that's an Isser. Meaning, but it's a Lav, which means what? Meaning that the Torah recognizes a marriage. There is a Tvisas Kedushin. So, if any one of them died, meaning any of these husbands that we just described, so Mesu v'lahem achim, and it happens to be they have brothers, and the brothers are healthy brothers. V'lahem nashim v'amdu achim v'asu maimer v'neshoseim v'nasnu get v'chaltzu, and the brothers do any one of the above. They do maimer, or they give her a get, or they do chalitza. So, in any one of these circumstances, masha asu. So, it's all going to have an effect. Now, again, by the way, this is where I'm going to take us on a little bit of a fast pass over here, meaning how exactly does each one of these things have an effect? What must be done for any one of these items? We're going to discuss it later in the Masechta in more detail. Meaning you do Maimer and therefore what? Okay, we'll discuss it later. Or you do Chalitza and therefore what? Well, that we already know. But anyway, the point is that if the brothers do any of the above, it's going to have an effect. V'imbalu kanu. Now, let's say they have bia, meaning they do the mitzvah of yibum. So then there's a kinyan. Now you are married to your yavama. Okay. Now that's all part one of the brisa. Okay. Now part two of the brisa. What we're going to do now is we're going to basically do the same thing, but we're going to invert it. Meaning over here, the surviving brother is all of the above. Mesu achim va'amdu haim. So let's say the brothers died, meaning the brothers were the healthy ones, and they died. And now leaving the widow to any one of the above. So v'asu maimer b'neshoseim v'nasnu get oshachatzu masha asu. So again, if they did either maimer, or they gave a get, or they did chalitza. So again, it's all going to be effective. And now v'im ba'alu kanu. Now if they do bia, so that's it. They did the mitzvah of yibum. Now, but here's the problem, of course, and that is that they shouldn't have done the mitzvah of yibum. Why? Because it's a lav for them to marry the woman, meaning the psua daka, the krus shavcha, they are not allowed to marry a Jewish woman. Over here, that's exactly what they did. Either there's a mitzvah of yibum, okay, there's a mitzvah of yibum, but there's also a lav. So, on one hand, if they did the mitzvah, now they get a check for doing the mitzvah. On the other hand, it doesn't override the lav, but the Braisa says, and here's the kicker, the Braisa says, im ba'alu kanu, that it actually affects a kinyan. And vasala kama mishum shenemer lo yavo psu adaka. But of course, however, they can't maintain the relationship, and Beis Din's going to step in, and Beis Din's going to require them to divorce because lo yavo psu adaka. But anyway, isak adatcha, so the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to get stuck. And that is if what you're arguing is that by chayv alav and midaraisa lechalitza ramya leyibam lo ramya imbalu amaykanu. But here the Gemara asks a knockout question, and that is that remember what you're suggesting, that when we're talking about a chayv alav and between the yavam and yavama, and so therefore there's only eligibility for chalitza and there is no eligibility for yibam. So now what? The Braisa just says that imbalu kanu. That shouldn't be the case. Meaning, Yibam is simply not on the table. Yibam is simply not an option. So there should be no Kenyan whatsoever. And the Braisa says that there is a Kenyan. Okay. So what does that do? So basically, it knocks out our first suggestion. So we are now finished with round number one. And here we head now to round number two. Again, set up the question. The question is that I have a Yavan Yavama that right now are prohibited to one another through a lav. Again, let's talk about the Kohen Gadol to an Amana. So she's an amana min erusin. That's an important detail. So under those circumstances, now what is prohibiting him to marry her? Meaning she was married to his brother. The brother died. And now the Kohen Gadol is now faced with the challenge of doing the mitzvah of Yibam, despite the fact that she's an amana min erusin, which means it's a lav. So what do I do under those circumstances? So what I do is I follow the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that you do not do the mitzvah of Yibam. You can only do the mitzvah of Chalitza. The Gemara's question is, why not? Asay dochalosa say. Okay. Round number two. So, Ela Amarava Manamin Erison, Nami Esse Velosasehu. So in round number two, so what we're going to try to do is that we're going to try to add an essay. Meaning that if we can say that she's not just a lav, so then we have a solution. But where are we going to find an essay? Okay. Well, if she's not a Basul anymore, so then that's it. Then we found one. But the Gemara says, but by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah is Kapasik Vitani, the Mishnah is telling us not only in the case where it's Minan Nisuin, but even from an Erison, still the Halacha is going to be the same. So we have to now find another essay. Okay. As you can imagine, by the way, the Gemara is not going to be successful in doing so, but at least the Gemara is going to attempt to find an essay. So Min Erison Nami Essay, Velo Saseu Dechsiv Kedoshim Yul Elokechem. So the Gemara says, okay, so if I open up the Parsha Samor, so in Parsha Samor, so it says that the Kohanim have a positive commandment to be holy. The Gemara is about to point out everyone's got a positive commandment to be holy. Okay, but maybe at least we can argue, right now we're trying to argue, that there's a special imperative for Kohanim to be holy, and this would be a lack of holiness. So Mamzer Sunasina, Maikala Mamer, so the Gemara says, okay, so that's good. But you remember in the Mishnah also talks about a mamzer, and the Mishnah talks about Nesina. And by the way, what I have not done, I'm just right now, sorry, I'm thinking out loud. I didn't explain what Nesina was on another occasion, right when we go to Gittin. I know that's like really pushing, kicking it down the road. But later I'll explain a lot better what is a Nesina. But anyway, they're loving the Torah. Right now that's what we could say. We could say it simply and safely. So they're loving the Torah. And the Mamzeres is usher to everybody, meaning not just a Kohen, but Yisraelim as well. And where are you going to manufacture an essay for a Mamzeres? So the Gemara says, v'his kadishtem. So the Gemara says, okay, but there is a general requirement for every Jew to be holy. Parsha Shmini, we just read it. Baruch Hashem. And Sholes this past Shabbos. So we have a requirement to be holy. So we hachi kol haTorah kula nami esev lo sasehu dichsiv iskadishtem. So the Gemara says, oh, come on. Now that essay is so generic and it's so general and you can apply it under any circumstance. And if you apply it to any circumstance, so do you know how many times you're going to have an essay being docha lo saseh? Zero. Right? Because every lo saseh now is going to be compounded with this vihis kadishtem. And that's untenable. Meaning, we know that there's a principle of esse docha lo saseh, and by adding these kadishtem to every single lo saseh, so you've warranted the esse docha lo saseh rule to be totally non-applicable, it can't be. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of round number two. Manufacturing an essay is not as easy as it as proposed. So the Gemara says, okay, so number three, Ela Amarav Gzera Amanam in Erosanatu Amanam in Anasuin. So the Gemara says, okay, Gzera de Rabbanan, meaning, may Iker Hadin, yes. Can the Kohen Gadol marry his widow, his brother's widow, who is an Amanam in Erosin? Yes. Why? Essay Dochelo Sasei. So the Gemara says, okay, so, but why not? Gzera de Rabbanan. Because once you engage in this kind of behavior, you know the next time this will happen, and I know by Kohen Gadol, by the way, how many times are we talking, but still. In other words, but the next time that it happens, so people are going to think that, oh, under those circumstances, you could do it even min anisuin, because who's going to see the difference? Who's going to know the difference? So the Gemara says, Mamzeros anisina ma'ikala meimer. So Gzera b'makom mitzvah atu shalab b'makom mitzvah. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand the confusion between amanam in erusin versus amanam in anisuin. They are very close to one another. And again, there's a big difference that lies in between them. Amanam in erusin is just a lav. Amanam in anisuin is a lav naseh. Okay, so I understand the confusion over there. But the Mamzeres Nesina, where's the confusion? Meaning Mamzeres is just a lav. And you're telling me that an essay could be Dochelo Sase. So then you should be allowing the Yavam to marry his sister-in-law, despite the fact she's a Mamzeres. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you where people are going to get confused. People get confused because if you do Yibam over here, people will then marry Mamzeres Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. Oh, so the Gemara says, really? So the Gemara says, well, look, if you're worried about this will lead to that, let me tell you something. Yibum, what are you doing? You're marrying your brother's wife. Well, if you're marrying my brother's wife, so maybe where there's no mitzvah, i.e., it's not your paternal brother, it's your maternal brother. And remember, we said earlier in the Masechta, if it's your maternal brother, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Yeah, but not everybody understands that. Not everybody knows that. If you're worried about confusion, so shouldn't you worry about confusion over here? So the Gemara says, Yibum Banachla Tal Rachmana Meyidi Yadi. So the Gemara says, no one's going to confuse your maternal brother and paternal brother, because when it comes to paternal brother, so that's a function of Yerusha, as we've discussed before as well. Yibum is closely tied and related to Yerusha. So there, you're going to be inheriting from the same father. If it's just your maternal brother, so halachically and just practically speaking, you view him differently because you don't see him as competition for Yerusha. So the Gemara says, Isha Shein Labanim, Lotus Yabim, Xer Mishim, Isha Sheish Labanim. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, if we're worried about confusion, so I did Yibum in a case where there was warranted, i.e. there was no children. But the next time you're going to have an opportunity where there was children, so maybe people are going to get confused. So the Gemara says, Bibanim, Tale Rachmana, Mediyadi, Esha Sachiv Shaya Bolamo. I'm sorry. Bibanim, Tale Rachmana, Mediyadi. Sorry, comma. So, in other words, everyone understands. Everybody knows that Yibam is in order to perpetuate. Everybody knows that Yibam is only when there's no children. So, the Eishas Achiv Shayab Olamo Lo Tisyabim Gzerim Shem Eishas Achiv Shalom Hayab Olamo. How can you let anyone do Yibum? Because in a case where the brothers did not coexist, like we discussed in the beginning here in the second parak, so people are going to get confused. And admittedly, by the way, that is a confusing discussion, as we already saw in the beginning of our parak. So the Gemara says, "Bishiva tal rechmane meidiyade." So the Gemara says, yeah, but everybody knows that in order for there to be a mitzvah of Yibum, the Torah says, "Ki yeshvu achim yachdav." And you just have to have basic knowledge of the Torah to know that the brothers had to coexist. Okay. So, kol anashim lo tisyama, gzera mishum ailonis. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we ban Yibum altogether? Because in the case of ailonis, there's no mitzvah. And so if I allow for Yibum, so then people are going to end up marrying ailonis. So the Gemara says, lo shchicha. So the Gemara says, well, ailonis is not that common. And we know as a general rule, there's only a gzera d'rabbanan, only when it's something which is shchiach. And this is not shchiach. So the Gemara says, mamzeres anesina na'amin lo shchicha. What do you mean? How often, how regularly do you meet a mamzeres anesina that the chachamim need to make a gzera? Okay. Okay, now I get to breathe. Okay, and adkan, so the Gemara now attempted to answer based on the line of reasoning of gzera. And the Gemara says, nah, it's not shaykh to make a gzera. Once again, we are looking over here at something which is not shchich, it's not that common, it's not that frequent, and therefore the chachamim are not going to make a gzera. So, 29 and a half minutes. Not bad. We asked a question. We have yet to have an answer. Let's set up the question just one more time, and then let's give the Gemara's answer, definitive answer. The question is that when there's a confrontation between the mitzvah of Yibam and just a lav, not a lav sheish bo karis, but a simple lav. For example, a Kohen Gadol to an Almana Mene Erusin. So there I have a confrontation between Yibam and a lav. What do I do? Well, I know what we do because the Mishnah told us. What you're going to do is you're going to do Chalitza and you're not going to do the mitzvah of Yibam. The question is very simple. We have a rule. We discussed in the beginning of the Masechta. Esei docha lo saseh. The Gemara and Daf Dalet gave us the Mara Makam. How do I know such a rule? It's based on Smuchin, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? That covered the first couple Dapim in the Masechta. Daf Dalet, Daf Hey. Good. So meanwhile, we know Esei Docha Lo Saseh. So why don't we say that over here? So in the beginning of the Masechta, we learned a rule. Why don't we apply the rule over here and say that the positive commandment of Yibam should override the lav of Amana to Kohen Gadol? That's the question. The Gemara now has gone through three rounds of answering this question. Now, I'm not going to review it at the end of the daf, so let's review it right now, right? A mid-daf review. So so number one, what the Gemara suggested is maybe we have a special drasha, that in the case where it's an isolav, there's only chalitza, there's no yibum. And you separate chalitza and yibum by lavim. The Gemara says, no, it's just simply not true. Meaning we have a couple of braisas that clearly indicate that it's not true. That's answer number one, rejected. Answer number two of the Gemara, well, maybe we can manufacture an essay for the almana. The Gemara says no. We're not going to. It just simply doesn't work. There is no additional essay to add to that. Answer number three of the Gemara. Maybe it's gzera derabanan. The Gemara says no because it's a milsad lo shchiach. It's something which is uncommon. The chachamim would not make gzera. So we are left now asking the question, and we need an answer. Why do we not say that the mitzvah essay of Yibam is going to be overriding the lav? Answers the Gemara. So, right, Ella Amarava. So it's the first wide line down. Anchaf Amar Aleph. So Ella Amarava Xerabi Rishon Atubi Ishniya. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah of Yibam? So unbelievably, the Gemara says the mitzvah of Yibam is Bia Rishona. It's the first time that you have relations with her. That's the mitzvah of Yibam. Everything after that is not the mitzvah of Yibam, and that's what's called Bia Shnia. All the subsequent acts of relations between the man and woman is not a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay, and therefore, when do we say that an essay is docha lo saseh? That's only for the Bia Rishona, which is the mitzvah. But after that, we are now operating with Bia without the mitzvah. Bia stands the mitzvah. And at that point in time, so then now you have a lav without the mitzvah saseh, and therefore it doesn't work. Okay, that is an unbelievable answer. That's such an interesting answer. Okay, Tosus asked a question. I'm sure everyone here is thinking it. Why don't we say that in general? Right? In other words, let's leave the lav out of the discussion. Let's just go to our classic case of Yibam, where the man is now going to be having relations with his late brother's wife, Eshazach. She's an Erva. So why don't we say that for the first Bia, that's okay, because that's the mitzvah. And for every subsequent Bia, why don't we say it's an Isser? Everyone here is wondering. Tosus
assumes on the first Bia that they're
going to
have a child.
So Tosus over here answers as follows. Atu Bia Shnia. So lav davka naka biyashnia dahafila gemar biya rishon asar diyavam niknes b'ha'ara v'havi masal amemar gzera atu gemar biya. So the first point of Tosfos, which is in of itself unbelievable, is that the truth of the matter is that biya rishon and biyashnia is imprecise. Meaning the truth of the matter is that really the mitzvah is only the haschalas abiyah, ha'ara. And gemar biya, the mitzvah is already, at that point in time, the mitzvah is already over. And so really what the Gemara could have done is made a distinction between the Ha'ara, the partial penetration, versus the Gemara Bia. Okay, but that in of itself, by the way, that part of Tosfos can gain a tremendous amount of analysis, but let's move on to the second part of Tosfos, which is what, again, just so I understand you're curious, but let's just deal with the issue at hand. The Ein Lahatir Bia Shnia Mitam Denasis Ishto L'chol Davar. The Ein Onasis Ke'ishto. However, why not make Tosfos over here is just simply inverting the point that we just said. Meaning, why not simply say that with the Bia Rishona, what does she do? She becomes your wife. And once she becomes your wife, obviously you're allowed to be with your wife. It's a mitzvah to be with your wife. So Tosfos says, no, we're not going to say that over here. Ela hecha desharile below dechia. So Tosfos answers over here is as follows. That when it comes to your classic Yibum, so there, it's not the pshat that the mitzvah of Yibam is overriding the Isser of Eishes Hach. Rather, that's the mitzvah. This Tosus goes back to what we said back on Daf Dalet. Tosus back on Daf Dalet says, mitzvah so bekach. Meaning what happens to the Isser of Eishes Hach is that the Isser of Eishes Hach goes away altogether. To use language that we're all used to hearing, it's hutra. It's totally knocked out. However, when you have confrontation between essay versus lo sasei, it's not that we're ignoring the lo sasei, it's that right now we just simply get to say that the essay overrides the lo sasei. But the lo sasei is still there, it just happens to be that the essay is stronger than the lo sasei. But the lo sasei is not only there, it remains there even afterwards as well. That's why Biashnia now is going to be problematic, more than problematic. It's going to be prohibited. Because now the lo sasei didn't go away, and you're now absent the essay, because the essay is now with that Bia Rishona, and now you are, that's how Tosus explains, that's how you get stuck now by the Biashnia. Now, to your point, meaning what, the child is going to come from Bia Rishona? Obviously, the answer is could be, but not necessarily. So what Tosus probably is thinking is that since that's your first opportunity, that is what the Torah describes as being a mitzvah, even though, lemaisa, it may not come out with that first bia.
Or it may never come out ever,
either. Correct. Okay, now, what comes out over here is that we have finally wrapped our head around the answer to the question. Why don't we say essay docha lo sasei? Answer is that despite the fact that you have a essay for Bia Rishona, you do not have a essay for Bia Shnia. Ha Dama Rava, sorry, I skipped a line, an important line. So, okay, there we go. Second wide line now on Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara now is going to be quoting a Braisa supporting this as well. And that is, Imbalu Kanu, Bia Rishona, Vasil Kaiman, Bia Shnia. Oh, the Braisa says it. Meaning, and it's funny, by the way, the Gemara knew the Braisa. Obviously, the Braisa predated the Gemara's discussion. And so if the Gemara knew the Braisa already, so why then have the entire Amud of Gemara? Meaning we just went through three rounds of attempt and failed attempts. But again, as everybody knows, and I'm just highlighting this point over here, is that the Gemara is also a series of trial and error. In other words, there are things that the Gemara already knew, meaning this is a Braisa we just quoted. The Gemara already knew it, but the Gemara just simply wanted to try on different Svaras to see what works and what doesn't work. As much as what we can learn from in terms of what works, we also can learn a significant amount from what doesn't work as well. Okay, and that's, right, we're in the laboratory over here, in the laboratory of the Beis Medrash, and so the Gemara does try out Svaras that end up not working. And now Rava says, now, as much as we're saying this, it's difficult to say. Why? Damar Reish Lakish, because we're going to go here with a rule of Reish Lakish. The rule of Reish Lakish we hear time and again throughout Shas. Meaning we have a rule of Essay Docha Lo Sasei, right? Now Reish Lakish says, yeah, on that rule, so you have to follow the following guidelines. They're more than guidelines. Kol Makum Shata Motzei Essay Lo Sasei Im Atei Yochol Lekayim Shneim Mutav. Now when you have Essay Docha Lo Sasei, now if what I could do is I could do both, meaning they are not confrontational, but rather I could do both, great. V'im lav yavo essay v'yitche lo sasei. Otherwise, the essay is going to override the lo sasei. So, if it's confrontational and there is no alternative pathway, and the only way that I could do the essay is by violating the lo sasei, then, and only then, are we going to say that the essay is going to docha lo sasei. Hachanami, so the Gemara says, so over here, let's consider. So what do I have? I have now the Kohen Gadol to the Amana. So what do we say? That he can't do Yibam, he has to do Chalitza. Aye. Essay docha lo sasei? You're right. But that's only for the Bia Rishona, but not for the Bia Shnia. But what the Gemara is saying is that effectively, right, in at least in theory, we would say essay docha lo sasei. Now the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, but you're not right. Why? Because over here, isn't there an alternate pathway? Sure. You could do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, Efshar Bechalitza, the Mekayim Esev Lo Sase. So the Gemara says, so you could do Chalitza over here, and isn't Chalitza a stand-in, a fair substitute for that of the mitzvah of Yibum? And if, in fact, that's so, So now what comes out is that I don't have to violate the lav. And if I don't have to violate the lav, we are now at a point of, according to the rules of Reish Lakish, we're no longer in the parsha of Esei Dochalos Asei. So the Gemara says, the Efshe Bechalitza, the Mekai Masav Lo Sasei, Meizvei Vim Balu Kanu. So the Gemara says, okay, but I know that the Yivam works. Why? Because we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Im Balu Kanu. So what are we going to do now with the rule of Reish Lakish? Tiyufta, the Gemara says, so this is a refutation. This is a refutation to the rule of Reish Lakish. Meaning what? Meaning? No, because Reish Lakish is telling us is that if there is an alternate, so then Esei is not going to be Dochalo Sase. In other words, and let's just play this out. If Esei is not Dochalo Sase, so then what if you did it? So then the Esei is not going to be able to override the Lo Sase. So then even B'dievin. Even after the fact, it's just simply it shouldn't work. That's the Gemara's thinking process right now. They did it anyway, but over here there's an alternate route. If there's an alternate route, you don't have the Esei Docha Lo Sase, and the Lo Sase now is going to be at the forefront. Okay, right? Yeah.
But it creates the need for a
get
at that point. No.
If, in other words, well, the Braisa says in Balu Kanu, which means you're right. But the question of the Gemara is that if Reish Lakish is right, so then the Bia should have no consequence whatsoever, right? What David is arguing is, okay, but B'dievet, it was done already. And so clearly what the Gemara is arguing is that, no, if I subscribe to Reish Lakish, it should have no effect whatsoever. That's what the Gemara's thinking is. Okay, Itmar. Well, again, what the Gemara is arguing is that it had no effect whatsoever. It was just an act of relations. That was it. Okay, Itmar. Bias Kohen Gadol Be'almana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. So let's say the Kohen Gadol has relations with an Almana. What is the effect? So the Gemara here brings down a machlokus. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar. Chanamar Eina Poteres Sarasa, V'chanamar Poteres Sarasa. So it's a debate whether or not it's going to have an effect or not. It's interesting over here, as we're on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, it's interesting over here that the Gemara is looking at it from the perspective of the co-wife, meaning even before you get to the co-wife, meaning why not just discuss the principal, the party that's involved? Okay, but still, the question now is that does it have any effect? So bi amana min hanesuin kol amlo pligi de lo patra de lo asa de lo asa dochev de lo asa asa. Let me read it even better. Chaf alpha madalf, second line down. De ein asa dochev lo sase ve asa. Yeah, if she is a amana from Nisuin, so for her, there carries with it the double, the essay and los essay. So there's nothing to talk about. And by the way, David, as I'm thinking about your point, the Gemara over here says very clearly that if there's no dechia, it simply has no effect whatsoever. No effect. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, so that's clear. So keep li'i ba'amana mina erisin. But where we have a debate is amana mina erisin, where it's only a los essay. So now, so the one that says that, look, it has an effect. Now again, shouldn't have been done. You should have done chalitza, but still, in the fact that it's an essay versus a los essay, so we know essay is docha los essay. So therefore, it has an effect, and therefore, you're married. You have to divorce her. The co-wife now is going to be the co-wife is going to be released. And manda amar ina poteres lo asay essay v'dachis los essay kevin de efsher. Bechalitza. Ah. And the one that says that it does not have an effect, why? Because Efsher Bechalitza. Because again, he's using now the rule of Reish Lakish. The rule of Reish Lakish is that if there's an alternative pathway, so then we don't say Dechia. Over here, there's an alternative pathway. Meisvevim Balukanu. So the Gemara says, well, what about the Braisa? Meaning, I'm so happy that there's a debate over here between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. But let's go back to the Braisa we saw on the bottom of the previous Amud. The Braisa says that im balu kanu, which means now that it has an effect. So Tiyufta, Lema Tiyavi Nami Tiyufta, the Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, okay. So now, isn't this going to be a challenge for Reish Lakish? Now, I know, deja vu, meaning on the bottom of the previous Amud, the Gemara refuted the position of Reish Lakish. The Gemara now resetting the question, isn't this a refutation for Reish Lakish? And the Gemara says, no, I'm Lecha Reish Lakish. Ki Amina Ana, Heich Nemekaim Et Mitzvah. So the Gemara argues, and you probably were thinking this, and the Gemara argues, and the Gemara says, no, because what Reish Lakish will tell you is, Chalitza is not an alternate pathway. Meaning, previously, when the Gemara says, ah, but there's a Chalitza, and isn't Chalitza the same? Reish Lakish's counter-argument would be very simple. Chalitza is not the same. Chalitza does not share an equivalent platform with that of Yibum. Chalitza is second place. It is the silver medal. Sorry for the bad analogy. It's a silver medal of the mitzvah, meaning the gold is to do the mitzvah of Yibum, which, again, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense, meaning the objective of the mitzvah is to perpetuate the name of the deceased brother. So if you're doing the mitzvah of Yibum, you're perpetuating. What if you're doing chalitza? You elect not to perpetuate. So under those circumstances, easily you could see how if we're going to try to now categorize and classify Yibum and Chalitza, so Reish Lakish will tell you that Chalitza exists on a lower platform than that of Yibum. And so over here, Reish Lakish will tell you, no, if we're talking about alternate pathways of equal footing with one another, so then great, so then there's no Dechia. But over here, the alternate pathway of Chalitza is an inferior pathway. And so under those circumstances, I'll tell you that in this circumstance, there is in fact going to be a legitimate Dechia. Okay.
According to the one who says Elu Foy Teres, then he would be over the Isser of Eishes Hach. That means
the mitzvah of Yibam takes care of Eishes Hach.
No, but yeah, according to him, if it's Elu Foy Teres, that means that the beer didn't do anything. So if he didn't do anything, then he's over the chorus of Eishes Hach.
Let me think. I'll have to think more about that. I'm not sure. In other words, there is still a mitzvah of Yibum. It just happens to be that right now, in standing in the way is a lav. It doesn't work because of the lav, not because of Eishes Hach. Okay, let me think about it some more, but okay. We are in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that's today's daf, and we are about a quarter of the way down. We're starting with the words Amarava. Okay. We have now successfully concluded the Gemara's discussion, and again, that was a very long discussion regarding Esei Dochalov Saseh in the context of a Kohen Gadol to the Almana. Other applications as well, but the Gemara speaks about it because A, it came up in the Mishnah, and number two, we have a number of Brises discussing it. But anyway, do we say that the mitzvah of Yibam gets to override a lav in the Torah, specifically that of Almana Mena Erisin to the Kohen Gadol? And the Gemara's answer is no, but why no? Why not? And that was the Gemara's discussion now for the last Amud plus of Gemara, and ultimately the Gemara says, yeah, Bia Rishona would be okay. Bia Shnia is where it becomes problematic. Okay. That's the simple answer.
If the purpose of Yibum is to propagate the name of the deceased, why stick just with Bia Rishona? What's the concept behind that?
Yeah, so by Bia Rishona, that is where the mitzvah can first be successfully fulfilled. Even though we discussed it, right? Even though there's a good chance that you're not going to have a child over there by Bia Rishona. Agreed.
Right.
Why is the first one called the mitzvah and the rest of them not called mitzvahs? It's an excellent question. I'm not sure. But the Gemara is clearly understood.
Why don't they say about it? Propagate the name.
Yeah.
That's a goal.
Agreed.
So why don't we say about it that when he has a child, then he has to divorce it? Once he fulfilled the mitzvah.
Okay, let me table all discussion right now. Let's go on in the Gemara, as we have still a lot to do. Amar Rava, Remez L'Shnias Minatar Minayin. So first then we're going to introduce Shnias, but with a small introduction. So first of all, what is Shnias? So Shnias are the secondary relative members, the secondary family members. I say secondary in that the Torah gives us a list of which family members are prohibited. That's called Arayas. Okay, so when you go to shul and hear Parshas Acharimos, you're going to hear it. And when you go back to shul for the next week to hear Kedoshim, so you're going to hear it again. Usually Acharimos and Kedoshim are read in the same week, so you really hear it twice. It's in Perek Yudches and Perek Chaf of Sefer Vayikra, where the Torah goes over those family members that are prohibited. So the Chachamim said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put a fence around the Torah. So not only are these family members going to be prohibited, but the other, but they're going to add family members as well. Adding family members is a way of creating a fence around the Torah. This is a geder. This is now going to be a first class example of what are the gzeiros derabbanan, what are the rabbis' decrees, in order to make sure that the Torah is safely guarded and protected. Right? The first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asu Siyag LaTorah. It is the Chachamim's mission. It's one of their goals, and that is that to create a fence around the Torah. And so that means to say that if they have to create buffers in which not only is the Torah prohibit this, but we're going to prohibit this in order to safeguard the Torah. Good. So over here, we are going to, this is a classic daf over here, as we're going to introduce ourselves as we're going to introduce now to the Shnios. So the first thing that we're going to do is that we're going to first have a short introduction. Amar Rava Remez L'Shnios Min HaTorah Minayin. Where do we find a Remez? Meaning, obviously, this is a Gzeira D'Rabbanan, but based on Psukim, so the Gemara is going to have a number of selections. Shenemar, so first we're going to be quoting from the Parsha in Achrimos. Ki es kol ha-toivos ha-el. El over here is not the Shem Hashem. El means, just simply means these. Ansu anche ha-aretz ha-el kashos ha-el kashos. So, and the anche ha-aretz did these kinds of activities, meaning they involved themselves in this kind of immoral behavior, sexually immoral behavior. So, michlal de'ika rakos. Now, the fact that it says kashos, they were involved in these really heinous acts, which means that there are, quote-unquote, milder acts as well. Umaniyu shniyos. That's a remez to shniyos. Umay mashmada el lashna dekashna hu. Now, when it says the word ha'el, these, it not only applies these, but it also would indicate there are those that are, that the word el means they're strong. Dechsev es elei ha'aretz lakach. Okay, we have a pasuk in Yecheskel that describes Eila as being strong. Leima pliga de Rabbi Levi Damar of Leika Kan She Onshe Shal Midas Yosim Onshe Shal Raya Zen Namar Behen El Vizen Namar Behen Eila. Now, if you are not fair in your weights and measures, that seems to be that the Torah describes that with the word Eila worse than Arayos. So the Gemara says El Kasha VeEila Kasha MeEl. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. El is difficult, and Eila is even more difficult. Gabi arise nami haksiv Eila ha'hulamute midos mikareis. So the Gemara says, no. When it says Eila by Arayos, so that's coming to teach me that there's not going to be an Issa Kareis by midos. Meaning that if you engage in false weights and measures, so you might have thought that it's subject to an Issa Kareis. The word Eila by Arayos tells me that only Arayos is subject to Kareis, not midos. So Ela maichum rayu. So the Gemara says, really? So then how is midos going to be more stringent than that of Arayos? So the Gemara says, hani efshar b'tshuva, hani lo efshar b'tshuva. Gemara says something amazing, and that is that when it comes to unfair weights and measures, there's no tshuva. There's no tshuva. What do you mean? How about breaking the unfair weights and measures and reforming never to do it again? Yeah, so Rashi says over here, that's true, but for all those years now that you have cheated your customers, so what are you going to do now? You're going to find those customers? Good luck. You're not going to find them. And so now, what are you going to do with that money, that ill-gained profit? Okay, so you'll give it to public goods. Rashi says that's very nice. That's not tshuva. Meaning it's a good, don't get me wrong, by the way. In other words, it's good. And that's what you're supposed to do. But tshuva means to return the money to the people that you stole from. You're not going to find them again. You can't do tshuva. As opposed to Arayos, where there's a proper way to do tshuva. Now Rashi does admit over here, that's obviously if there's no mamzer that's produced. Once there's a mamzer that's produced, that we go back to what we learned. I think Chagiga, Mu'uvas Asher Lo Yuchal Litkon. So there's nothing to do for that. Rav Yehuda Amar Me'acha, more psukim for Ramazim, V'izim V'chikar Tikin Mashlim Harbei. So the Amar Ulam Rav Elazar, Kodem Shabbat Shlomo Ha'isa Torah Doma L'Chfifa She'en La'aznayim. Before Shlomo HaMelech came, so the Torah was like a basket but with no handles on it. Shlomo made handles for the Torah, meaning by adding these gzeres to Rabbanan, so that is, so to say, like a handle. Rev Oshia, Amar Mehacha, Pira Eu Al Tavrabo, Shiteme Alav Avor, the Pasuk in Mishlei, which gives a description of, you are to reject it. Don't pass by it. Veer away from it. In other words, basically, what the Chachamim are going to do is the Chachamim are going to help us navigate by adding these gzeres to Rabbanan. So it's like guarding your field. If you guard it from the outside, so then kula mishtamer, it's all going to be guarded. mishamro mibifnim. If I, however, guard it from the inside, shalafana mishamer, shalachravena mishamer, well, that only helps me from the point which I'm guarding, but there's going to be some parts that are going to be unguarded. V'had Ravashi bedusihi. But the Gemara says, look, but this Ravashi, it's really, it's a bit of an amusement. Because hasam shalafana mi mishamer, hacha ilav shnios palga be'er vagufa. So the Gemara says, look, even when you're guarding it from the interior, some of it's still going to be guarded. Without the shnios, so then you're going to be pogea be'erva. So Rav Kahana Amar Mihacha, and finally our last Rasha for the day, Ushmartim es mishmarti, also mishmarti mishmarti, and that is that you have to make a mishmeres for the mishmeres. Now this one is the most popular, and the reason why I say that is because every time Rashi talks about Xerah de Rabbanan throughout Shas, he quotes this pasuk. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef had deraisa, he deraisa upirshu Rabbanan, kol haTorah nami pirshu Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, isn't that a deraisa? The Gemara says, no, it's a pirsh de Rabbanan. The Gemara says, the entire Torah is pirsh de Rabbanan, meaning the Torah Shebaal Peh is telling us what the Torah says. So the Gemara says, no, elamid de Rabbanan v'kras machta ba'alma. No, really over here, there's no imperative per se. It's that the Chachamim use this as a platform to explain their position, which is that they need to make a Gedola Torah. So that was all by way of introduction. And tomorrow we're going to begin by actually listing out the Shnios de Rabbanan. Please return tomorrow.